scripture reading comes from Joshua, verses 1, 7 through 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And our second reading is from Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it, on the law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The word of the Lord.
Okay, let me begin with confession time for all of us. How many of you, with the very best intentions, have opened up your Bible and somehow ended up checking the news, the weather, and three text threads before finishing one verse? Or maybe you're not as spiritual quite yet, and you're simply waiting at the stoplight, sitting on the toilet, and you pull out your phone, and you pull up a video, and you see 30 seconds, that's too long. But it's not you, not only you. Psychologist Gloria Mark from UC Irvine has tracked our attention spans for decades. And in the early 2000s, people could stay focused on one screen for 2.5 minutes. Now, that average is 47 seconds. Now, we may laugh, we might groan, we may resign ourselves and say, well, that's just the way the world is, but it's more than that. See, our short attention spans are rewiring our brains. We've trained our brains to sprint through life, but scripture was written for marathoners. Neuroscientist and literacy expert Marianne Wolf says our skimming brain, our scrolling brain on digital devices has replaced our reading brains. She says this: when our reading brain skims texts, we don't have time to grasp complexity, to understand others' feelings, or to perceive beauty. And here's where it hits home for parents in the room. Researchers at the NIH, National Institute of Health, have found that heavy screen use amongst children and adolescents correlates with weaker connections in the brain responsible for focus and language development. So studies have shown how digital media reduces our critical thinking and our empathy. So in other words, these devices that we hand to our children to keep them busy are training them, and they're training us to be more distracted and therefore less fully human. So yes, these devices are forming us, and we are becoming people who read quickly, we react instantly, and we rarely reflect deeply. Our minds are being shaped for speed rather than depth, and for scrolling, not savoring and enjoying. But here's the good news. God invites us to be reformed by his word, to slow down. This month, we're leaning into scripture as a spiritual practice. And last week, we learned the importance of reading simply reading scripture, not as history, not as ancient literature, not just as poetry and prayers, but reading with this goal to encounter Jesus, the living word. Give a nod or a wave if you're able to follow the reading plan that we suggested last week. All right, that's great. And so keep it up, and send me a note if I just trust that God is meeting you in the midst of it. And if you missed last Sunday, just hop on our series resource. You can QR code it and find the resources there. Today, we're going to turn our attention to the practice of meditating on Scripture. Now, meditating on Scripture is how we can let Scripture heal our attention deficits and rekindle delight in God. In their fast-paced, clickbait, your attention as a monetized commodity, that kind of reading, that defines our modern lives today, has neurobiologically rewired our brains in a way that is at odds for how to read Scripture in the way it was meant to be read. So, when we slow down and we meditate, the Hebrew word for meditate is haggah. Everyone say haggah. All right. That's the Hebrew word translated as meditate. When we haggah the word, we rediscover the joy of hearing God's voice. Now, before we talk about meditation, let's talk about how Jesus himself engaged in scriptures. Now, last week we looked at Luke 24, where we heard about two disciples who were discouraged and confused right after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And all of a sudden, a stranger joins them along the road and says this, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Now, I'm not as much of a podcast guy as Julia is, but if there is one podcast that I would do anything to hear, it would be this one. Jesus explaining the whole Bible as one story about himself. Oh yeah, you know, not a podcast guy, a podcast person, all right. And then Jesus goes on and to say in verse 32, okay, there we go. They ask, okay, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scriptures to us?" And a few scenes later, Jesus returns to the disciples and says to them in verse 44, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, notice something here. Jesus doesn't call it the Bible. He calls it the scriptures, and he refers to the scriptures as the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. I highlighted them in different colors for you to see that. That was a standard first century way of referring to the Hebrew scriptures, which we now refer to as the Old Testament. The Hebrew scriptures were arranged in three parts. The law, which is the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy. The prophets, which began at Joshua and included all the major and minor prophets. And then the Psalms, or the writings, which included Psalms, Proverbs, and Job. Now, between each section, three sections are two hinge passages, two canonical themes that actually teach us how to read the Bible. It's what Rachel read for us earlier. Joshua 1, that's the theme one between the law and the prophets. There it says, okay, I got it here. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Right at that scene between the Torah or the law and the prophets, Scripture pauses to give us reading instructions. Meditate on it day and night. And then we get to Psalm 1, which is the other scene between the prophets and the writings. And there, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with wicked, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water." Do you notice some identical phrasing there? It's what Tim Mackey from the Bible Project calls a hyperlink. A hyperlink in today's web browsing terms. When you see it, it's meant to jog your link to the other part of it. Joshua 1 and Psalm 1 are like these literary, this literary glue that stitches together the whole library of Hebrew scriptures, and it teaches us how to approach it. The scriptures are not just meant to be read, they're meant to be meditated upon. So, what does meditation look like? The Hebrew word for meditate, as we mentioned earlier, it's used in both of these passages, is haggah. Everyone say haggah. And that word means literally to murmur softly. The sound of someone sitting, reading aloud under their breath. Sometimes our children do that, sometimes we do that, right? And that's why Joshua has this colorful line, keep it always on your lips. Let it murmur out of your lips. And neuroscientists actually tell us that this actually helps us retain and memorize things. But this word haggah can also mean to growl over, like a lion over its prey. So to haggah is to chew and to savor and to let the words roll around until they fill you. So when we hear the word meditation today, many of us picture something like a mindfulness practice from Eastern spirituality, where we empty our mind of our thoughts and distractions, and we detach from our desires, and we focus on our breath, and we focus on the things that our feet and our bums and our arms are planted upon, that sense of attentiveness, and we might repeat a calming phrase. And those practices have a role for our mental health. But biblical meditation is something very different. It's not about emptying your mind and distractions, but it's about filling it. But filling it with God's words, with God's story, with God's character, with God's promises. And while modern meditation seeks to detach, biblical meditation seeks to a deeper attachment to God's truth, to God's presence, and to God's purposes in the world. Biblical meditation is not absence of thought. It's attention on love, attention on God's love for us. So when we talk about learning to meditate on Scripture, we're not thinking about and asking you to all become mystical monks sitting in silence at the top of a mountain. I mean, that's helpful sometimes. But we're talking about learning to slow down, to let God's words shape our imagination in ways that they begin to allow God to speak to us in the middle of our ordinary lives. So how do we haggah God's word? So let's look to some cows. Now, it's a biology lesson today, okay? Cows are ruminants, okay? They're designed to digest things slowly. They have, because they have four stomachs. How many of you have four stomachs? No, okay? There's four stomachs called the rumen, the reticulum, the omasum, and the abomasum. All right, biology lesson for the day. So the rumen is the first stomach. It's the first pass. When the cow quickly swallows the hay, it goes into this place. It's where we just deposit it. It's like our first read-through of Scripture. Just get it into your body. And then the reticulum is the second stomach. That's where the cow regurgitates the food back up and chews on it, chews on the cud. That's haggah. I know that you don't have to think about it. You're already filling it in, I know. Okay, but haggah is returning these same words until their sweetness and their savoriness and strength emerge in us, in our mouth. Then it goes into the third stomach, the omasum, which is where it begins absorbing. The nutrients concentrate. And that's how meditation distills and turns the wisdom on the pages into something that applies to our lives. And last, the abomasum is where digestion takes place. It's where the enzymes break down everything completely so that the nourishment you took in your mouth breaks down into every part of your body. That's how the word becomes flesh in us and lived out through obedience. So you see, biblical meditation is spiritual cud chewing. Haggah is spiritual cud chewing. It's not very efficient, but it's how truth, the truth of God, gets into the bloodstream of our souls. So this week, I had an early morning cycling group, so I didn't have time to get deep in God's word. And so what I did is I took a few minutes to get in the word for the day. I was following the plan, Matthew 4, Psalm 3. And then in Psalm 3, I noticed one verse. You, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're the glory You're my glory and the lifter of my head. And I said, okay, that's the first pass. That's, I'm just getting it in. And then as I'm writing, as I'm through the rest of the day, when I have quiet moments, I'm going to let it come back up. And I come back to that verse. And then I pray through that verse, allowing God's spirit, saying, God, what do you want? Why did you bring this to my attention? And how does this verse come alive to me this day? And lastly, that's the absorption. And then lastly, I repented. I prayed to God for allowing other things in my life to lift up my head. Other things to lift up my head. Things that I was trying to take control of, like fixing my fridge and fixing a leaking roof. These are things that I wanted to do in my own strength rather than trust God. That's where you begin to digest God's word. And even better, because we're reading through this plan together as a church, you know, Crystal was leading our devotional during our elders meeting, and she read that very same psalm for us, and that allowed me to re-engage and chew on it again. That's how we become more faithful apprentices of Jesus, by meditating on God's word, just as Jesus did. Psalm 1, Joshua 1, remind us of those themes. Meditate on it day and night. The late Presbyterian pastor Eugene Peterson wrote in his very well-entitled book, saying, called Eat This Book. He says, Christians feed on Scripture. Holy Scripture nurtures the holy community as food nurtures the human body. Christians don't simply learn or use or study Scripture. We assimilate it. We take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love. Metabolized into acts of love. Then he goes on to comment on the image found in Revelation 10, where the angel has a scroll that's symbolic for Scriptures. And he gives it to the Apostle John, and he says, eat it. He doesn't say, read it or study it. He doesn't even say, post it on social media. He says, eat it. In other words, put away your journal and pen and pick up your knife and fork and dig in and enjoy it. Meditate on Scripture. These canonical themes, Psalm 1, Joshua 1, are telling us that Scripture is designed to be meditated upon. Jesus embodied Haggah. See, when he was tempted in the wilderness, if we read Matthew 4 or in Luke 4 again, every answer began, it is written. Jesus had internalized those words, and they came out reflexively. He often withdrew to lonely places to pray, and he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he is suggesting this kind of living word metabolizing in your body. As Jesus hung on the cross, not only did blood and water flow out of him, but the very prayers of the Psalms that he had memorized and internalized through his whole life came out as well. Meditation in God's word is how the word abides in us. It's how Scripture moves from these pages into our personhood. The first step for many of us, perhaps, in our practice of reading Scripture is to slow down and meditate. Slow down and meditate. And there's no one way to meditate on Scripture. But there is one practice that has kind of risen to the surface over centuries. It's a practice called Lectio Divina, which means, in Latin, divine reading. This is a slow and prayerful way of digesting Scripture. And in the monastic tradition, monks and nuns would go off alone, and they would read and reread and reread a Scripture and slowly turn over every word until something emerges, listening for God's voice. Now, this meditative mode of reading is different from study, which we're going to learn next week. Bible study asks, what do these words mean to the original hearers in their context, in their time, and how do we apply that to us today? That's Bible study. But Lectio asks, how is God coming to me personally through the text right now? Now, we have to be careful here, because we're not here to manipulate Scripture or allow it to say things that it didn't mean to say. Because the deceiver manipulated Scripture that way Notice that when he tempted Jesus, he used scripture. He just twisted it. We're not asking for a new meaning when we do this. We're asking for how the original meaning, guided by the Spirit, is speaking to us right now. So here's how Lectio Divina works. The first is Lectio, which simply means read. We read slowly and we notice what comes off the page. Maybe it's one of the words or phrases or an idea, and maybe it catches your attention or nudges you emotionally, and you might get a picture come to your mind or a memory or an idea that comes from out of nowhere. It seems out of nowhere, but that's actually could be Jesus, the Word of God, coming to you, speaking to you, inviting you to pay attention. Second step is meditatio, which means meditate. And this is where we begin to chew on that phrase, spiritual cud chewing. As you reread it, and second, third time or more, you reflect on the connections that are being made in the passage and your life. You're listening for what God might be saying to you. And this helps us deepen reflection. It takes us from what the left brain, right brain to the left brain. And then you go oratio, which means to pray, to speak out. You talk to God what we are hearing from God. And this begins to integrate our hearts and our minds together. And the fourth step is contemplatio, which means gaze. That's where we learn to rest in God's love. We move from brain to heart to intimacy, enjoying God gazing upon us in love. This cultivates peace and intimacy in our hearts. When the original monk named Guigo developed this, he kind of described them as a linear experience, 1, 2, 3, 4. But as we practice it, it might be like a dance. You learn the dance moves, and then it comes sometimes as 2, then 4, then 1, then 3. And however you end up practicing this, remember, meditating on scripture is essential to our formation in Christ, to recognizing how much God loves us. Especially in this digital age of low attention span, clickbait, rage bait content. As important as meditation is in our relationship with God, it's not the end. It's one of the first steps of paying attention to Jesus. Many teachers add a fifth step. It's called incarnatio, which means obey. This is where we put flesh and blood on the passage. You translate the words of Scripture to your life. And that's why Joshua writes, be careful to obey all these things, all the law. Meditate on it so that you may be careful to do everything in it. It's not just enough to meditate on Scripture. You have to get it out of your head and even out of your heart into your hands and to your feet. Jewish rabbis used to teach that you learn the Torah with your feet more than your ears. You learn the Torah with your feet more than your ears. Meaning you learn through obedience. You learn through doing it. Now hear this, meditation isn't for seasoned pros. It's for everyone who longs to be an apprentice of Jesus, especially in such a distracted, short attention span world. Meditation retrains our attention. Meditating on scripture roots our emotions in truth, not the headlines. Meditation cultivates empathy. It's the same brain region that we use for deep reading, is the same as what we use for compassion and empathy. When we meditate, we are rewiring our hearts for faith, not fear. Now, if the internet is rewiring us for outrage and anxiety and fear, then meditation is what rewires us for love. If our minds are default shaped every day by what we scroll, let's choose to be shaped by what we chew. This week, here's the invitation. It's a slow reading challenge. As you continue in your reading plan together, read a chapter or two of Matthew each day. So this week, we're reading 8 through 14, and then we're reading Psalms 6 to 10. Pray one of those psalms each day. And as you read it aloud. Read it slowly, repeat it. And when a phrase catches your attention, stop, chew on it, repeat it out loud, pray it back to God, and let the word come to you and say, Holy Spirit, what are you drawing my attention to? Connect this to what I'm going through. And let that word come back to you throughout the day. In those moments where you're tempted to pull out your phone to check some notifications, repeat that word, repeat that phrase, and let that one, allow one, and ask God, what's the one thing you want to bring to my mind as this word comes back to me? You see, your brain and your soul, it can be retrained. The Spirit does the work as you linger with God in God's word. So if you're tired of skimming life, scrolling through it for something meaningful, God's invitation is simple. Stop. Stop scrolling. Start chewing. Chew on God's word. Because the word of God isn't meant to be scanned. It's meant to be savored and enjoyed. The prophet Jeremiah writes, "Your words were found and I ate them. And they became to me the joy and the delight of my heart." When you haggah God's word, when you chew it slowly and prayerfully and obediently, it doesn't just inform you or inspire you. It transforms you. It transforms your brain. It transforms your life. It brings joy. It brings delight. It nourishes you so that you can become more like Jesus, so they can really live for God and really live for others. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to turn from the noise and distractions that dull our souls and slow us down to listen, to chew on your word until they become part of us, until they are metabolized into loving action. Let scripture move from our eyes to our hearts and from our hearts to our hands and our feet. And may your word bring us joy and delight. And may that joy overflow in love and hope for a world that desperately needs it. We ask these things in your name. Amen.